Hey, if you're using a Bible today, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So we're talking about time. And this is part 3 of Time of Your Life. And today we're going to talk specifically about a time principle. But let me just talk about where we've been. So far we've talked about the truth that we all have a limited amount of time. Our days are short. Our days are numbered, and all of us, at some point in our life, some of us earlier than others, and all of us at some point in our life, we're going to realize that we're not the center of the universe. We realize that there's something bigger than us, and in fact, there's something bigger than us that we should be giving our lives to. See, because what we find out is that this is God's story. Now, we have a role to play, but this is God's story. And our best hope for making a difference and living with purpose is found in discovering what it is that God would have us to do. Our best hope for using our limited time wisely is found in discovering what God is up to and then living for Him and His kingdom. Now, Moses talked about living as if there is an eternity, and as if there is a God who has been the architect of that eternity from beginning to end. And so in light of all that, in light of the truth that our days are numbered and there's a God who's up to something, we should live our lives and spend our time accordingly. So we started with that really big context. And then last week we talked about a specific time principle. And that simple time principle is this: you get more done by putting the most important things in your life first. We have more time and we accomplish more when we really prioritize our hours, days, weeks, months, and years. We discovered this principle: priority determines capacity. Priority determines capacity. Prioritizing is the key element to making the most of your time. Now, today we're going to talk about another principle as it relates to time. And before we get to the Bible in Ephesians 5, I want to tell you 3 things that you already know. These are 3 things that we know, but we tend to ignore. And because they're things that we know and we tend to ignore them, we feel guilty. They make us feel guilty. Now, we don't really do the guilt thing around here, but these are 3 things that we already know, but we tend to ignore, and consequently, we feel guilty. These are 3 things that as we get older, we wish we hadn't ignored. These are things that as maybe a fiancé or a spouse or a parent, you should pay close attention to. In fact, if you're a parent, you're going to want to take really good notes today, because when you get home, you're going to want to sit down and share this with your kids. You're going to want to sit down and talk about this with your kids. And again, this is not new information. This is junk that we know. This is stuff that we know that we tend to ignore. All right, so 3 statements about time that we already know, but we tend to ignore. Number 1, there is cumulative value to investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period. Now, that's kind of a complicated sentence, but it's a simple idea. There is cumulative value to investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period. In other words, there are certain things that if you give them a little bit of time on a consistent basis, there's a big payoff in the end, right? We know that's true. Let's just use an obvious example: exercise. 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, week after week, month after month, year after year, there's a big payoff at the end of that. There is a cumulative value in investing small amounts of time in exercise. And here's the thing: one installment may not make a difference. But if you add up all of the installments, it makes a big difference. If you're a student, 25 or 30 minutes a day on each subject, there's cumulative value, Parents, spending time with your kids in 20, 25, 30-minute segments. See, parents, it's not about the big, audacious vacation where you try to make up for lost time. It's the same with your spouse. It's those daily conversations that make all the difference in your relationship. Now, this is true in every relationship. This is true financially. This is true in disciplining your children. This is true in practicing a musical instrument. This is true of a hobby or skill. A little bit of time, okay, a little bit of time over a long period of time, and there's a big payoff. And again, the problem is, this is not new information. None of you are sitting there going, wow, what a concept. That never occurred to me. We know this, but we may ignore it. And we may ignore it because we may not see the benefit of a particular installment. In fact, there may not be a benefit to a single installment of time. And that's why we ignore this. I mean, there may not be a huge benefit to coming home early to have dinner with your family one time. There may not be a big benefit to one installment. There's no thrill in one installment. We don't see the benefit of one installment, so we think there's no value. And there is no value in a single installment, but there is cumulative value in investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period of time. Now, another reason that we ignore this is because there may not be an immediate consequence if you skip an installment. I mean, if you're pretty consistent with your workouts, if you miss one, your body's probably not going to give out on you. If you get off your diet one time, it's not going to kill you. It's the cumulative that does us in. See, if I just got off my diet on Thanksgiving and Christmas Day, I'm good. But I get off my diet at Halloween, and I got back on it like last week. It's the cumulative. See, it's the cumulative that does us in. There may not be a huge benefit to one installment, and there may not be a huge consequence to missing one installment. And listen, we know this. This is not new information. And it's easy for us to talk, you know, ourselves out of investing these bits of time. Those little 30 minutes here, an hour there, in critical relationships, in critical disciplines, in the critical things that relate to our spiritual lives. Here's another example. Some of you are back in church, maybe like for the first time in a while. And listen, when you leave here today, you may feel good about you because you went to church, and that's awesome. But listen, you're not necessarily going to be a better person just because you went to church one time. There is cumulative value. The same is true with small groups. Some of you are trying a group. Some of you have been to a group one time. Small groups have cumulative value. Going to small group one time, that might not make a difference, but it's not about a single installment. And listen, we could take this 100 different ways, like Bible reading, praying, serving, giving your tithes and offerings. There may not be an initial benefit, and there may not be a disastrous consequence. It is those installments over time that make a difference. Here's truth number two. Neglect is cumulative as well. Neglect accumulates as well. Now, some of us, we may be experiencing this in our lives right now. In fact, we may be, or we may know people who've neglected their health for 20 or 30 or 40 years, and they're paying for it now. And here's the problem with neglect. Over time, there's a point of no return. There's a point where you can no longer recapture what is lost. In my academic career, I got to the place where my GPA was never going to rise above about like 3.0 because neglect over time didn't allow it to rise any higher. And it wasn't about neglecting one evening of study time. There was a cumulative effect. And listen, it's true in our spiritual lives. We've neglected community with other believers. We've neglected time with God. We've neglected Bible reading. We've neglected prayer. And now some of us are trying to make up for lost time. And listen, this is certainly true in our relationships. You know, when your kids are young, you don't have to nurture a relationship with them because they have to do what you say. When your kids are young, you don't really have to put the time in to nurture the relationship because they have to do what you say. They have to go along with the program. And so, you know, we're going along and we get busy just staying busy. And everything's cool. Like when they're 10, 11, 12, you know, they're good kids. Everything's cool. And then, bum, 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 they turn 13. But even then, it might be cool. Everything might be cool. We're going to be okay. And you feed them, and you know, they have a room, and they have their music, and they have their phone. But you're neglecting the relationship. You're not nurturing the relationship. And then they get to be 16 or 17, and they lose their mind. They lose their mind, and then you take them to the pastor or to a youth worker or to another counselor, and you say, fix them. Fix me, fix us. But you've already missed the small deposits. And at some point, there's a point of no return. And the damage cannot be completely undone. Now, check this out. The sacrifice that you make and the price that you pay for those small, ongoing deposits is far smaller than the sacrifice you make and the price that you pay later for the catastrophe that comes at the end of the season of neglect. And there's always a price to pay. There's always going to be a sacrifice. Small daily and weekly sacrifices cost way less than what you pay at the end of the season of neglect. Now, this is what's crazy. Neglect, and maybe we want to use the word procrastination. Neglect, procrastination, they require no effort at all. No one has to discipline in neglect. No one has to commit to procrastination. And again, this is nothing new. We know all this. Neglect is cumulative. The areas of your life that deserve an investment of time, the relationships in your life that deserve an investment of time, your walk with God that deserves an investment of time, if you continue to neglect it, there is a cumulative value. There is a price. There is a place where you cannot get back what you've lost. Now, here's one more, number three. There is no cumulative value to the random things that we opt for over the important things. There is no cumulative value for the random things that we choose over the important things. And again, that might be a confusing sentence, but a simple illustration will clear this up. If for the last month you have not exercised, and you take all the things that you did instead of exercising and add them up, they equal zero. See, there's no cumulative value to two extra hours of sleep or two extra hours just messing around on the internet before you go to work. If you took all the things that you've done, instead of having dinner with your family, and if you added them all up, it adds up to nothing. If you took all the things that you, if you're a student, if you took all the things that you did instead of studying and you add them up, you get zero. There is no cumulative value to all the things that we opt for over the things that we know are absolutely important. All of the things that you did instead of spending time with your kids add them up, what do you get? Zero. And listen, this is where we're delusional, and I think this is where we're deceived, and this is where we feel like, yeah, you know, maybe I have wasted my most valuable asset of time. And see, here's what we say. Man, I don't know where the time went. Yeah, I don't know what I've been doing. I don't know where I was. I don't know why I wasn't paying attention. I don't know. Where did it go? It went to all the random things that we opted for instead of the systematic daily, weekly, monthly deposits of time in the areas of our lives that we know are most important. Now listen, I know, okay, it's kind of harsh. And I'm not pointing fingers. Listen, I can waste time with the best of them. I'm just keeping it real. And listen, keeping it real, it's kind of disturbing. And see, here's the real question. If you were God, and you're not, but if you were God and you loved you as much as God loves you, if you were the God who knows the number of your days, if you were the God who understands the value of time, the time that you have left, if you were God, what would you say about the use of your time? Now, we can probably guess, but here's something really cool. God tells us. He tells us through the Apostle Paul's writing in the New Testament. Now this is interesting, because most of the time, when we look at this passage in Ephesians 5, we're not really talking specifically about time. We're talking about something else, even though he's talking specifically about time. And in these verses, we find exactly what we would expect from God when it comes to our time. And see, this is the God who knows the number of our days are numbered, and knows the number of our days, and understands that the small deposits of time over time make all the difference. Small deposits over time in every important area of your life make all the difference in the world. So this is what God tells us about time. This is what God inspired the Apostle Paul to write to a group of Christians. And this is amazing, because this was written like 2,000 years ago. Sundials. Think sundials, okay? Check this out, Ephesians 5:15. So be careful how you live. That's life. That's time. Okay? That's what we're doing. We're living. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Be careful how you live. Don't live like a fool. Live with wisdom. Here's the idea. The idea is you have to look ahead. That's what Paul's getting at. He's getting at this idea of looking ahead. Look beyond this moment and be careful how you live. In light of the fact that it takes consistent deposits of time in critical areas of your life to make a difference, in light of the fact that neglect is cumulative, be careful how you live. Because if you don't, you'll end up in a place you don't want to be. You will be foolish. You will be a fool. Be wise. Look ahead. And then this, verse 16. Make the most of every opportunity. Now, we always want to do that, right? We want to make the most of every opportunity. Get the most out of your time. Make sure that you're using time on something that gives value. Time is a limited asset. Paul says, be careful. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every minute. Make the most of every day. Because we know that neglect is cumulative. There's a point of no return in some areas of life. There's a point of no return sometimes with our health and sometimes with our relationships. So you better be careful. Make the most of every opportunity. And then he tells us why. He tells us why we need to make the most of every opportunity. Here's the motivation. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Wow, that's four powerful words. In these evil days. All right, so think about this. What's Paul saying there? Here's what Paul's saying. Don't just allow the current of culture to sweep you along. Because if you do, you will waste your time. And you will end up nowhere, and there's no way to go back. Be careful. Be careful because the days that we live in are evil. Now listen, all right? This is crazy to really think about. The reason that we neglect things that we know are important is because we live in a culture that pushes and motivates and distracts us from the things that are most important. Paul tells us that there is a force, there is a current. We typically call it sin. There is a force, there's a current, there's sin, and it rolls through time with us. And that force of sin, that gravitational pull of sin, is the reason we neglect. It's the reason that we procrastinate. It's the reason that we put off until tomorrow what we should be doing today. It's the reason that we, you know, in some cases, harm ourselves. It's why we undermine our own happiness. It's why we undermine our own future. It's why we say, you know, I ought to. It's why we say, you know, I would be better off if I would. It's why we hear a message like this and we walk out and just keep doing what we're doing. Why? Why do we do that? Paul says the days that we live in are evil. There is a current that flows through time with us. And then he wraps it up with this in verse 17. So don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Now, just so we're clear, all right? This is the Apostle Paul telling you this, not me. All right, so don't get mad at me. All right, these are Paul's words. Here's what the Bible tells us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible says, if you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, it's sin. If you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, it's sin. If you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, Paul says, you're a fool. By the way, that's the biblical definition of a fool. Someone who knows what they ought to do and chooses to sin instead is a fool. Paul says, if you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, it's sin and you are a fool. A person who knows what they ought to do and goes, no, is a fool. Why do so many young people today smoke cigarettes? And listen, I'm not trying to hate. I'm just asking. Because it says on the package that they kill you. It says on the package, these will kill you. They'll kill you. Why? If you continue to ignore your wife, it's not going to get better. Neglect is not a good marriage strategy. Public disrespect, not a good marriage strategy. If you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, see, we must be careful. And here's why. We have experience with neglect. We have experience with procrastination. We know that there's a point of no return. We know that in some cases there's no way to recapture it. He says, don't act thoughtlessly. Understand what God wants you to do. Now check this out, all right? This is crazy. And this may be new to you. This may be something maybe that you heard when you were a kid. Maybe you even have an opinion about this, but check this out. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has a will for you. See, for many of us, these details of life, of our relationships, our time, our entertainment, We kind of know God's will for us. We know where God would have us invest our time. But yet Paul has to tell us, don't be foolish. Don't keep doing what you're doing, because you're going nowhere. Don't be foolish. Know and understand what God's will is for you. Now listen, all right, because right here, right now, God spoke to some of you. Every time I mention dinner with your family, every time I mention marriage, every time I mention kids, and listen, you're going to be tempted to say, oh, it's just my conscience, or I just feel guilty. But in truth, God spoke. And here's more truth. Anything that relates to your time is a spiritual matter. Anything that relates to your time is a spiritual matter. And for some of you, God spoke. God spoke clearly, and you must take care of it. And here's the question that you don't want me to ask, but I must. Where do you need to begin? Where do you need to begin making consistent time deposits? What area have you neglected? What relationship have you neglected? What area of discipline have you neglected? Maybe it's part of your spiritual life. It may be your physical body. It may be a relationship. Where do you need to begin? And what is your biggest obstacle? What is in the way of getting started? What are you going to do about it? God spoke to some of you. He tapped on your heart. What are you going to do about it? See, because there's cumulative value in small deposits made over time. And neglect is cumulative as well. And there's no cumulative value to those things that we choose over what has real value. Don't be foolish. Don't allow the current of culture to sweep you away. Be careful. Use your time wisely, because it is God's will for you. Would you pray with me? God, we're amazed at how explicit you are in the scripture. And we're amazed that you look 2,000 years ahead and said, there's going to be some people that live on the west side of Los Angeles that need to hear these words. And we know, Father, that you've spoken through your word and that your Holy Spirit has moved. And God, for some of us, you tap specifically on our heart. And we know that you spoke to us. Father, I pray that we would give in to the Holy Spirit today. That we would give way to the Holy Spirit. That we would hear what he says to us and that we would obey. That we would find explicitly your will for our time, for our marriage, for our kids, for our family, for whatever it is that we need to address, whatever it is that we need to change. Change us, Father. Make us new. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.